and welcome back to the Make It a Double podcast with Ariana
and Jasmine. Because if you're gonna make a drink,
might as well make it a double.
I said it incorrect. It's been too long, ladies and gents.
Yes, it has,
ladies and gentlemen. One man.
One man, probably. Maybe, I don't know. Who knows?
Shout out males, I guess.
Ugh. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, Ariana, how have you been? It's been so long.
I know, and it's been so long. Why has it been so long, Jasmine?
I have been away.
Yeah, she's been away.
So
she's
been at war.
She's been at war, ladies. No, she's fine. I honestly can't remember. Should I look at my phone?
Yeah.
Let's look at my phone to look at what my plans were. Okay, so in the past month, I candidly cannot remember the last time we recorded. I mean, so many weeks of the summer, I turned pretty. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have so much time to.
I know our TV so much, screen tap is going to be crazy.
It's going to be the amount of things I have written down is crazy.
Also, I called it TV screen tap. That's what I just called it.
Double tap. Lindsay's birthday was the 23rd. I hosted a Survivor themed birthday party for a friend. That was very, very fun. And then
it was so successful. It looked like everybody had a great time. You were great, Jeff Probst.
Yes,
just from the pictures.
It was very, very fun. It was very, very exhausting. I don't think I ate anything all day. And then we went out and I was like, I don't need to eat anything.
Please.
Like a crazy person. But then I obviously ordered two Papa John's pizzas. Obviously. Not one, two.
Obviously.
Which I ate over the course of like a week because I can't eat two pizzas. And then that week was really fun because Leah was in town, so we had loads of activities planned, including a Love Island watch party Monday, dinner for Maggie on Tuesday. I went to happy hour with my coworker for his birthday, and then a picnic, and then we went to see Mama Mia on Broadway, which is very, very good. And then...
Which is back on Broadway, right?
Yes, which is back.
It ended its run and that's back?
Yeah, it's back because it's technically the touring cast, but because the Winter Garden had a, like, 2-month empty spot, so it's, like, technically the touring cast, but they're, like, on Broadway,
oh,
which
so
is, like,
fun, which
so
is so
cool.
Awesome for them.
For all of them, except one person. It was their Broadway debut, which is, like, so cool,
God.
And they were, like, so good. It was so good. And then Labor Day weekend happened. I had a very lazy Labor Day weekend, and that's when you came back. And I understand that was a week ago, but Jasmine needed time to get her life together, so you'll bear with us.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yes.
So Jasmine, tell me about, how have you been?
I was in Utah for the past month. Our last podcast was at the beginning of August, I think.
Like I think that's
the
right.
The week before I left, or like the end of July, whatever. I went to Utah for the whole month, visited family, hung out with...
It was the beginning of August because we only saw each other for 2 days before you left.
And I hung out... First, I hung out with my sister-in-law, Erica, and my nephew, Caleb, and my brother, Ethan. And it was the best. I was there for, like, 10 days. And we just had so much fun. It was just, like, so great to be with Cakes. And also just, like, really fun to hang out with Ethan and Erica. Just, like, so nice. And then I went up north. Riss and I and her best friend, Rachel, we went to, like, a Taylor Swift night. It was super fun.
Oh, so fun. And we love a theme night on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. And then we wore matching, like, sparkly...
pants.
Jumpsuits. It was awesome.
Love.
And then just lots of, like, hanging out... Utah stuff. I can't even remember like all the things that we did, honestly. We went to Freaky Friday, which we'll talk about in the recap. Just spent time with Lola and everybody, and then I spent some time in Salt Lake with Tara, and we like went out to bars, played bingo. Like they're one of the bars that they go to. It has like a bingo night, which is like
honestly
so fun.
Honestly, I could crush a bingo night.
It was so fun. We need to go to a bingo night, and we need to go to a freaking trivia night.
I know.
We
keep saying
we have to go to a trivia night.
We keep saying that we go to trivia night,
for the last,
and we
like,
don't.
6 years. Or something.
It's literally on my dating app profile, and people are like, "What dating? What trivia thing do you go to?" And I'm like, "I haven't been to
the
a
one
trivia
in my
night,
hand, baby."
it's always trivia if you're me.
We went to Lagoon, which is like a theme park in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like very small, but like there's some of the things that are like pretty rickety, but so fun. The last time I was there, I was a child and I got whiplash on the first ride that I went on, and it was awful because it was one of those rocket rides that go all the way up. And
I hate that.
I looked down instead of putting my head back, and so it was just like my body was like, like, and I was like, so it was awful.
Yeah, that sounds
so. That was the last time I went there, but.
I'm sorry. I'm just imagining the listeners just listening to you going. My body goes,
you know what I'm doing.
I know, it's just funny because like I saw what you were doing, but then it just sounded a little bit like a cartoon, like a boy.
And then I went back to Riss's house, hung out with Lola for 2 days, and then. Oh, I got diagnosed with COVID, and it was really bad COVID. My throat hurt really, really bad, so I had to quarantine in my room for 2 days and not hang out with anybody. It sucked titties, and then I finally could get him out of the room, but I had to mask the whole rest of the time, which sucked because like we couldn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, that is annoying.
We just had to like get food. It was still good though. Like I'm happy that I was able to still like spend time with Lo and Riss and everything. So, and my mom. So it was all good, but also womp womp. And I also got to see my brother Danny and SJ, which was also really, really nice. Only a couple times. But yeah, so. All in all, a good time. And then I've just been back for a week now.
Yeah.
Ish. Because I came back for Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, you came back on Sunday of Labor Day weekend. Yeah. You've been back for about 8 days.
Yeah. And then, and then this week it was our roommate Julia's birthday. So we celebrated that on her actual birthday. And then yesterday. Saturday.
Saturday.
We went out. It was so fun.
It was so fun.
Fucking weirdo dudes at that.
Oh my god.
Bar.
Oh my god. And that guy at the end that was like, tell your friend.
Yeah, this is what he said to me. He said about Ariana. He said, tell your friend that when she wants to realize that she's hot to call me.
Versus me, I'm like, I know I'm hot. I'm just not interested in you. Like,
So funny. Good time, so. But yeah, that's basically it.
And then, you guys know I do community theater. It was launch weekend of Bob Esponja. SpongeBob SquarePants. It was so much fun. I'm very, very excited to be a stupid little fish. I don't actually
She's
know.
She's hoping for fish, though, I'm she not, doesn't want to be the lead.
I don't want to be the lead, but just because I just need you to envision the stupidness that I could give as an ensemble member. Like, as a like a num 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 me,
or you could be like that guy that's like, God, this guy stinks. Or yeah, that guy, I want you to be that guy.
It's so funny because one of the guys in the my friend Noah, he does intramural sports, and he was like, oh, like my leg, like I hurt my ankle, blah blah blah, and someone just said the SpongeBob. Fish where she was like, you should be this one. And it's the one that goes, my leg! it was just so funny. Because, like, I forgot how much I love SpongeBob. Like
it really holds up.
It really holds up. Then it's so funny because suddenly I was like, we were looking at the snack table. We were like, why are there two tubs of mayonnaise? Like, that's so weird. And then we remembered Patrick has emotional support mayonnaise. That's like a thing.
I could not remember that much.
I was just like, no, it literally took someone had to explain it to me. I was like,
also, you know, somebody was going to be like, this is going to be hilarious. And no, like, nobody got it.
Also, like, to be fair, I haven't actually watched the musical. I think that it is a theme.
Oh, okay.
In the musical, because like multiple people have brought it up enough times that I'm like, this has to be like a theme in the musical.
Gotcha.
But that being said, the songs are silly and stupid enough that I'm very excited.
Good. I'm excited to watch you in it.
Yeah, in 3 months.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Wait, hold on. My brother Ethan just texted and he said, Caleb keeps calling K-pop demon hunters K-pop demon humpers. I love him. He's the best. Oh,
and guess
gosh.
What? Guess what? I haven't seen it, but so true. okay, should we dive right in? Jasmine, is there anything else we want to say?
No, we can dive in. We can dive right in.
Okay, so we'll dive right into the topics. Miss Jasmine, you're leading it off.
Ba 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 ba. Taylor Swift and Travis are engaged. I know we were so far behind everyone on this announcement, but we cannot just not talk about it. That's insane. I literally was dying of COVID, and I got and Leah sent it in the group chat, right?
No,
we all thought we all thought somebody died. You know who? We wish it happened. No, who said that?
To be fair, all she said was alert, and I was like, What? Because I'm at work, like, my first instinct is not to, like, go to Instagram. Mm-hmm. So she just says, she waits a couple minutes and then says, go to Instagram. I'm like, if you say alert, my first reaction is not to go to Instagram. So then I was, like, freaking out, and then I texted my coworker.
It would honestly be that I would think that Leah got engaged.
Yeah.
With the alerts.
No, because I feel like she would FaceTime us.
That's true.
And I feel like we'd be, like, I would have been, I feel like I would know more of a gist than, like, I feel like if she had called us this weekend, I would have been, like, a little shocked.
Yeah.
only because, like, I'm close enough to Leah that, like, I feel like we have these conversations. But also, like, not that shocked because, like, she lives with her boyfriend and they have a dog together. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not that shocked. Yeah.
But anyways, a lot of people in the group chat thought that it was a death announcement. But it was Taylor Swift getting engaged. And so I had to put on my mask and go to the door and be like, Riz, they're engaged.
Stop.
It was awesome. So she wrote on Instagram with a, what's it called? A slide post? A swindle? What's it called?
It's just a swipe. Post?
I thought it was called something.
I don't think that there's a proper name for it.
Oh, I thought there was. It's like a...
I mean, I don't think that there's a proper name for it. I just think
Leah probably knows. She's our social media guru. But okay, yeah. So, wait, I don't even have my stories up. What? She posted on Instagram with a post on Instagram. Whatever. Oh my God. I can't stop. Okay. With the caption, your English teacher and your gym teacher are getting married with a bomb emoji. Super cute. They've been now dating for over 2 years, so it seemed like a good amount of time. I really like her ring, and I think that if it wasn't that big, I think people would be calling him poor, so I think that he had to make it huge.
I agree, and honestly, like, I wouldn't be shocked if she, like, subsidized it a little, yeah. Like, like, if she was like, I just need, like, maybe she didn't, but, like, mm-hmm. maybe, like,
yeah.
Also, it doesn't matter. I think that it's a ring that is very Taylor Swift, and I'm mm-hmm. sure she loves it, and that's all that matters.
And it was made by, like, a small creator.
Yeah.
A woman that does them all by hand, and, like, she's
but see, like,
so
that's
amazing.
That's kind of the stuff that I think that Taylor wants. She doesn't want some, like, mass manufactured ring. Yeah. She wants, like, something, like, unique and one of a kind that, like, nobody else has.
1,000%. But, yeah, so any thoughts, Ariana? On
I'm just really happy for them. she got everything she ever wanted, and all I want is the best for her, and, like, for her to live nothing but amazing and beautiful life. And then if God forbid, after Life of a Showgirl, she and Travis Kelce disappear and ride off into the sunset, and we never hear from her again.
Mm-hmm. After he plays a terrible season and then retires.
Then I will be okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I will have gotten what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be sad. But I'll be happy for her.
I mean, she's put in the work, that's for sure, to, like, last a lifetime. Okay. But nothing has stopped Ed Kelce, Travis's dad, talking about it in the press and stuff like that. He was answering a bunch of questions. He was just telling all the details. I think he said it happened right after the podcast.
Yeah.
People
were setting up during the podcast.
Which also we missed, that she was on. She was on New Heights. And
yes.
It was, like, really cool and exciting at the time. And now they're engaged. So, like, who fucking cares about that podcast? But it was really cool.
Also, she announced...
Well, yeah,
the Life of a Showgirl.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah, which we also missed. So.
We also missed, but no, he like fully said, like, the podcast was also a distraction.
Uh huh.
to keep her distracted for 2 hours while they set all that up.
That's nuts.
And you know he had to, like, coordinate with all her security and shit. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah, with all those people coming in and out. So, yeah. Oh, my God.
He had to be like, you guys have to be...
Sorry, our mic fell.
We apologize. Our new fancy microphones provided by Miss Tara Bear. Shout out, Tara Bear, our first official sponsor. Woo! Wow, 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 wow. It fell. So...
We also have... Ariana's been trying so hard to set up both microphones... For this new episode, it was going to be, like, so amazing.
So crisp. But I got it to sound so crisp.
And then now only one of the microphones is picking up our voices clearly. So we are currently sharing one mic. So we're hoping to fix this by next time so it can be, like, really good vocals for you yeah. the next episode.
Bear with us, yes. folks. Anyway, so I'm sure that Travis was like, you guys have to be so quiet because if she hears anything, she's gonna know. Like, being trapped in a room with us for 2 hours, she's gonna know. Like,
wait, well, yeah, like, didn't she go to pee or anything? Like, my God.
I don't know.
How did they do it? Maybe it was like, they were like in to a be room fair, that had a bathroom so they could just like.
To be fair, she did the Eras tour and she did not have time to
true,
pee.
True, true, true.
We had time to pee. True. She didn't have time to pee. Because she was changing.
Also, random, but like the best little tidbit, I think, in that podcast was her saying that she found out that she got her master's and Travis Kelce was in another room playing video games. Yeah. I can just imagine him playing COD or something. Like,
yeah.
He's so, like, normal young adult man coded.
No, so literally.
Yeah, so his father, Ed Kelce, revealed that Travis asked Scott Swift for permission, of course, before asking her. And Travis had plans to do it the next weekend before flying out to Brazil for the Kansas City Chiefs game against the Los Angeles Chargers on September 5th. He was going to make a big production out of it. This is all Ed Kelce speaking, by the way. Yeah, he said, I told him the same thing Scott told him. Asking her is what's going to make it special. It's not where you do it. You know what I mean? You could do it on the side of the road, Scott adds. Just get it done. Don't worry about any special date. Just that you're ready. You got the ring. Go do it. So, just in the backyard. It looked gorgeous with all the flowers and everything. I think it seemed like perfect.
No, I think it was perfect. And I feel like it was probably what she wanted. Like, something like... Yeah. Like, I'm not going to say simple, like simple and private, but like yeah. also like still like a big gesture.
Yeah. But also like anywhere that they would have done like publicly, like would have been like, out.
Yeah. So no, literally.
It's probably a good thing or like a better thing. Than
100%.
Guaranteed Dumas would have been.
No, literally like there would be paparazzis up in helicopters like that.
Yeah.
In two seconds. 1,000%.
So yeah. But okay, yay for them. Congrats. Taylor and Travis. I know you both listen, so.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Okay, our next story is that Sydney Sweeney and Scooter Boner are now... Scooter Braun are now reportedly dating, coming off of the heels of her disastrous American Eagle campaign.
So true.
Sydney Sweeney is casually dating Scooter Braun. Multiple sources are stating...
So what I'm hearing is dating.
So in other words, PP is now dating Poo Poo.
please don't disrespect PP like that.
But yeah, so that's LOL. But like the thing is, I could understand if he was hot. But he's not even hot, Scooter Braun. Also, they met at the Bezos wedding, which is also hilarious. And
no,
it's terrible of them.
It's also, like, so them coded. Like she also has a type.
Yeah.
Yep. Skeezy. That's all I have to say about that.
For reals.
Okay, so the next topic is the new Vogue editor was announced. I will tell you her name right now. So the new Vogue editor-in-chief, Chloe Malley, I'm so sorry if I am mispronouncing that, Chloe, was announced as the new editor-in-chief at US Vogue. she is going to be taking over effective immediately. She has been... I guess we're just very excited about it.
She's been like she's been like on the online Vogue editor for like a while.
Yeah, she's been the online Vogue editor. Hold on, that's what I was trying to figure it out. So she's the current editor of Vogue.com and the co-host of The Run Through, which is the Vogue's weekly fashion and culture podcast. Mm-hmm.
She's also the actress Candice Bergen's daughter.
Yes.
So she's a little bit of a nepo, but she's also put in the work.
Yeah,
so.
And she is going to join Vogue's 10 existing heads of editorial content around the world, which are reporting to Anna Wintour. So Anna Wintour essentially got a promotion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this girl is, like, the new Anna Wintour. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think it makes sense because, like, she's, like, younger. Like,
yeah. I'm very excited to see somebody young.
Me too. But I also am excited to see, like, a new reign, you know, because she's going to be editor-in-chief for a while if she's good. Yeah. So.
No, I hope she, like, takes some, like, I hope she takes some risks, but also doesn't screw the pooch.
I mean, it's Vogue. It's kind of hard to screw the pooch.
Yeah, that's true. Honestly, like, the covers have been hella boring in the last bit, but have you seen, like, the Gigi and Kendall one?
Snore. Boring. Well, I mean, they technically haven't had an editor-in-chief for months.
Oh, I guess that's true. Well, they're literally just, like, standing with their faces close to each other. Like, that's
all
that the cover is.
No, it's because Anna Wintour was ousted early. That's what happened. Mm. Because this was probably always supposed to be the timing. And then there were some very suspicious reasons as to why she was asked to step down early. She wasn't asked. Mm-hmm. She was prompted. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Step down, but also step up.
Yeah. Okay, so the next story is there is a significant switch up to the SNL cast. So, we have a full update on the returners as of right now. No, this is the full final returners list.
Oh, okay.
Is Michael Che, Egon Wodum, Kenan Thompson, Colin Jost, Marcelo Hernandez, Egon Wodum, Mikey Day, Andrew Dismukes, Chloe
Fineman,
James Austin Johnson, Sarah Sherman, and Bowen Yang. The only thing we haven't heard is there's a couple people like Ashley Padilla and Jane Wickline that are expected to return but not confirmed.
Who were new players last year.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. But these are confirmed exits. Heidi Gardner, who has been on SNL for 8 years. So it's not super shocking to me because, like,
she would be shocking if she got fired.
It would be shocking if she got fired. But, like, after 8 seasons, I could see her being like, it's my time.
Yeah.
Michael Longfellow, after 3 seasons, I could see them being like, he's just not giving.
One was shocking to me because I actually do think he has a big following and also, like...
I agree. I think...
He had a lot of characters and stuff that he was doing.
Yeah, Michael Longfellow was shocking to me. Devin Walker wasn't, but only because he wasn't really used that much in this last season. Agreed. Emile Joaquin was shocking to me because I really liked him.
And I saw a lot of potential with him.
Yeah. He was also split up the Please Don't Destroy, which was those three boys. John Higgins was just asked not to return. One of the Please Don't Destroy will be joining his name is Ben Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the founding members of Please Don't Destroy.
He's the only non-nepo baby in the group.
Correct. So he will be joining as part of the cast, and then the only remaining cast member, the only remaining Please Don't Destroy member will stay on as a writer. Mm-hmm. Then we have 4 other people that are joining the show: Tommy Brennan, Jeremy Colhane, Cam Patterson, and Veronica Slowikowska. Sorry about that if I mispronounced it. I'm very excited, though. I think that these four people are going to bring some really interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. I actually know of some of these people just like from my own internet like spirals, which is like cool because it means that like it's more of the comedy that I'm into. Yeah. So,
well, what's funny is when I was staying with my sister Riss, she's like obsessed with the Dropout streaming service, which is the it's like the comedy.
It is. Yes, yes, yes.
And Jeremy Culhane is in like so many of those things. How? So when I saw his picture, I was like, what the hell?
Okay, I'm so sorry. How did I not know that Riss was obsessed with Dropout?
Oh, she's obsessed.
Okay, I'm gonna text her. Mm-hmm. Riss, text me.
But yeah, so so he was like on a bunch of the episodes that we watched of like, I can't remember what they're called.
It was.
We watched Game Changer or
Game Changer's my favorite. That's the one that like I literally paid for Dropout at first because of Game Changer. Mm-hmm. It's like, but it's so funny.
And then the other one that Sam hosts, it's like,
Make Some Noise.
Make Some Noise. Make how some did noise. This fit?
No, it's Make Some Noise because it's based off the first. Like, the first couple episodes of Game Changer, like, that was, like, the theme. Mm-hmm. Well, at least the first episode, and then they did it enough times, and he was like, actually, we could just make this into its own show.
But so, yeah, so Jeremy Culhane is from that. So, I mean, and he's, like, a crowd favorite. So, honestly, it's, like...
I mean, he's pretty funny, so...
Yeah, so I think that he'll be a great...
Yeah, I think so, too.
And Veronica is, like, a TikToker.
And then Cam Patterson is... He's a comedian. Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple of his... Like crowd work skits on TikTok, so
that's what I've seen a bunch of crowd work stuff or stand up from that other guy,
Tommy Brennan.
Yeah, that's who I've seen. That's what I've seen. So I'm a good bunch.
Honestly, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Next.
Okay. Maybe you should do this one first.
Okay.
And then we can go into that.
So the next one is we're gonna do it. I'm gonna do a quick little VMAs recap. Okay. You know, the biggest moments, first off, Rosé won. Her and Bruno Mars took home Song of the Year, and she was the first K-pop singer ever to win a VMA.
Really? BTS never?
No.
I'm shocked. That actually really shocks me.
Oh, maybe it's the first K-pop artist to ever win Song of the Year.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but still okay. very, very big.
For APTA, right?
Yeah, for APTA. Then Mariah Carey won her first ever...
That's insane.
Moon person, I guess.
That's insane.
And they get for both Best R&B and the Video Vanguard Award. She also did a performance, and I do have to say, this is the thing about Mariah. She definitely lip-synced a good portion of that.
That's not shocking to me.
But, one, it's Mariah. She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
Two, there was a portion where they put the microphone on a stand, and I was like, oh, that bitch is singing. You know what I mean? And I was like, and that's why she can. Mm-hmm. So that was lovely.
Also, like, when you have vocals like that, you can't do it all the time.
No.
Otherwise, like, that's why she had to stop doing the, like, really high-pitched stuff. Yeah. Killing her voice.
Also, I'm so sorry. She's Mariah Carey. She doesn't have to sing live all the time.
Nah, nope.
Okay, next. Sabrina Carpenter championed drag artists and the trans community with her performance of Tears.
Hashtag protect the dolls.
Hashtag protect the dolls. We love to see it. Two, she looked literally amazing. Have you seen the pictures of her in the web?
And I need to watch the full performance.
You need to watch the full performance because I watched like the first 2 hours of it around 10. I was like, I need to go to sleep. I don't care that much. Because I had like launch weekend and then Julia's birthday. I was just so tired. I was like, my body physically, I can't.
Yeah.
But I'm very glad that I watched it. I literally was watching it and I was like, history's happening. You know what I mean? Like, no, she was so good.
And I mean, even just this screenshot of her.
With the low rise, the wet. No, literally. With the dolls in the back. Forget it. And it's so funny because I was watching Tate McRae was one of the first performances and she was really, really good. And I was like, you know what? Like she's a dancer. And I actually do think she was singing live for some portions and she sounded winded, but like her actual voice sounded good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think that she was trying to prove a point that she can sing.
Yeah.
But she's mostly known as a dancer.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, then Sabrina went on, and it's like, she's known as a singer. And also then does dance break. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, so good. Then Cat's Eye won their first ever...
Oh my god, that's crazy.
Won for Push Performance of the Year, and they also headlined the pre-show with Gabriella. You should watch that performance. Also, it was so good. Then Ricky Martin, made history by receiving the first ever Latin Icon Award, which I think is it's great that they're adding that now, because really, it's sad that like Latin artists prior to Ricky Martin didn't get the recognition that they deserve. But I'm glad that they are introducing that category, especially as Latin music becomes more and more influential
mainstream.
Correct. Then Lady Gaga debuted the first live performance of her new song, The Dead Dance, after accepting her award for Artist of the Year. Okay, so I need you to okay, so she was at, in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. No, in Forest Hills. Okay? At Forest Hills, accepting the award. An hour later, she's live from MSG, from her sold out concert.
That's crazy.
How?
Okay, but like, was she live though? Because she on like Chicks in the Office, Rhea was at the show on Saturday, and Lady Gaga pre-recorded her performances for the VMAs at that concert. I listened to it today.
Oh, I haven't listened to that episode yet.
She said that they got there and she was like, everybody said that she started at this time, and then all of a sudden we hear her like starting a show at like 8 p.m. and she was doing a performance, and then it would go dark, and then she did, and every performance she'd be like, thank you, MTV! It would go dark, and then she would come back and do another song, and it would go dark, and then like an hour later she started the actual concert.
Oh.
So I do think it was pre-recorded, but...
Oh. Okay, well, but regardless...
But it also might not have... Maybe it was just a backup.
Maybe it was a backup, and they just needed it in case, because it was, like, a crazy thing to do. Because this is the thing. They did say live from MSG, which is not something that I think that you can say.
I think they say it sometimes when it's like, here's The Weeknd live, but he's not even there.
Okay.
But didn't they do that a lot at the freaking AMAs, like, literally a month ago, where, like, nobody performed live, and they kept saying, live... Here's whatever.
Wait, were they all pre-recorded?
Literally,
that's
almost
crazy.
All of them were pre-recorded.
Okay, well,
who knows? Who knows? We don't know the legal standing of all those.
Yeah. Ariana Grande was accepting her award for best pop and said, "Thank you to my therapist and gay people. I love you." And can I just say, period.
That's so period. Oh my God.
And then Ariana also took home the biggest award of the night, which is Video of the Year. She won for her short film, Brighter Days Ahead, which features visual companions to songs like Supernatural and Hampstead.
Justice for her album, she should have been nominated for Grammys for it.
I agree.
And not just VMAs. So dumb.
I know. Especially the extended version. Like, I think that those... I genuinely... if... those six songs were just an EP, I would literally play them on loop. Like, I love them so much. Okay, sorry. I'm done.
Well, speaking of albums that need the recognition.
So true.
That they deserve. Sabrina's album came out, Man's Best Friend. Do you have like a little favorites list or?
I don't have a top. Actually, I could make one, but it would have to be a non-ranked top five.
Yeah. I just have, like, a couple of faves. Honestly, Tip to Taint album, Slap City, like, literally incredible. Hard to choose faves.
I agree.
It was hard to choose
faves. It is, especially because, like, they're so short and, like, they're so, like, short and catchy.
I have five of my faves.
Okay.
But also, it was hard to pick five because I liked so many. Sugar Talking is one of my five. When Did You Get Hot? Classic. Nobody's Son, Go-Go Juice, and House Tour. Go-Go Juice and House Tour are like the real bangers on the album.
Okay, so I agree with Go-Go Juice and House Tour. Mm-hmm. I love Never Getting Laid.
Oh, that one's so, so good.
I love Never Getting Laid.
It almost made me my list, but I was trying to keep it
together. When Did You Get Hot? And then... it's got to be either My Man on Willpower or Tears. Mm. But, like, they're all so good. Like, it's hard to even, like, pick out. Because, like, this is no skips. Like, I've literally been listening to it. No skip, no skip, no skip.
1,000%.
Like, so good. And people talking about, like, the lyricism. Like, I'm so sorry. She's always been, like, a fun little quirky girl who, like, likes to write fun songs. Even, like, I'm so sorry.
Like, literally, just relax. My God.
Have some go-go juice.
So true.
No, but we are, we're stans here. That being said, can I also go back to another album that I mentioned last time on this podcast? Renee Rapp's
yes.
album.
Yeah.
I would like to take this moment to formally rescind what I said about it and say that it is a no-skip bop banger of an album. Between Man's Best Friend and Bite Me, I have not listened to anything else pretty much for like the past 3 or 4 weeks. Like, mm-hmm. really, like, it's the only thing I've been listening to. It's so good. It really scratches an itch. Songs that I really think that if you want to get into this album that you should listen to, I would listen to Why Is She Still Here? Good Girl. At Least I'm Hot. I Think I Like You Better When You're Gone. And You'd Like That, Wouldn't You? I think that you, Jasmine, mm-hmm. would love Good Girl.
Mm-hmm.
You would... At Least I'm Hot, like, I know I've said this to you 700 times. I stand by it because I think that you would love that song. And then You'd Like That, Wouldn't You? Like, I think that you would love it because it's like...
You'd Like That, Wouldn't You?
No, that's exactly what it is. And she literally goes, she goes, I bet you'd
go on, listening.
I know, I'm trying to think of the lyrics. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm looking up the lyrics.
It's Joe.
Okay, so she goes, if I drove to your spot and my tits spilled out of my cherry top and apologized for a lot, would you like that? If I sat on your couch and cried my pretty little blue eyes out, begging, baby, please take me back. Imagine. I bet you'd like that, wouldn't you?
I'll have to take a listen.
I bet you probably touch yourself at night thinking, I'm thinking of you.
Oh, damn.
You'd like that. It's literally so good. So good. So, everyone give it a listen. Amazing. Okay, great.
All right. Welcome to what TLDR.
Okay, great. We can put a time on it, but I don't need it. Yeah. So TLDR, Olivia Jade and Jacob Elordi broke up. That is it. I don't need to say anything else. Continue.
The next TLDR is that Millie Bobby Brown, 21 years of age, and her husband, 23, Jake Bon Jovi, adopted a baby. And I just find that interesting. They are so young. But good for them.
Yeah. So the next one is the Jonas Brothers, on their current tour, have brought out a plethora of people, including Demi Lovato, Jessica Courtney, Fifth Harmony, and most recently, 5 Seconds of Summer, which I don't think you understand how much that hurt me. Seeing Kevin spin around with his guitar with the 5 Seconds of Summer boys, like, it literally, like, it healed a part of me that I didn't know needed healing, like... And I'm sad that I wasn't there.
Well, also people were like, oh, a Five Sauce comeback. And I'm like.
Comeback? They've been here.
I was like, they literally just sold out, like, by our house. Like,
yeah. Well, this is the thing. Like, they're weird because, like, they'll do Pier 17 and then suddenly do MSG and then go back to Pier 17. And I'm like, those are two vastly different sized venues. Okay.
And am I next? Sorry, I don't have the...
Yes.
Okay, and the last T... Is it the T last one? What?
It's the last TLDR. Okay.
The last TLDR is that we have several, or a couple, Love Island USA Season 7 breakups. Amaya and Brian, they were the winners. Kaputs. And Iris and Pepe, he cheated on her, I believe so.
Yes.
Which maybe Brian did also, I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. Worst. But also, like...
Both girls, I voted for Amaya to win for Amaya, not for Brian, so really, like, I don't get
No,
that.
Literally. I've never voted for a man.
For reals.
That's actually, unfortunately, not true, but, wait. Yeah, no, that's not true.
Voting for a man?
Yeah.
I voted for Cordell and Serena. I voted for them as like a couple, not just Serena.
Oh, I just meant Cordell. In like general, like in general. Oh, and any time.
Yeah, I've had to vote for a man because almost there's like.
My God.
Anyhow, that was the TLDR.
Yes. For the moment. Next, we have a Tipsy Teasers.
Excuse me. Welcome to Tipsy Teasers, ladies and gentlemen.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
Okay, am I... is there only two? Am I the only one?
No, there's three.
Okay. All right, the first Tipsy Teaser is that Regina Hall and Anna Faris are returning to Scary Movie 6. They, after sitting out for Scary Movie 5, which I don't... I think that was the one with, like, Ashley Tisdale?
Confession.
You've never seen any of them.
I've never seen any of them.
Whoa, we're all shocked. Shocking news to everyone involved. You really should see, like, the first two or three.
Okay, fine. We can watch them.
Yeah, definitely. I also don't remember the last one that they were in, the fourth movie. So, I think I only remember 1, 2, and 3, but still exciting because like they are really like, they made those movies, them and the Wayans brothers. Like, they said, we can't wait to bring Brenda and Cindy back to life and be reunited with our great friends, Kenan, Sean, and Marlon Wayans. The comedy sequel, which pokes fun at horror movies, is in theaters June 2026. That's kind of crazy that it would come out in June and not, like, near Halloween. But I'm sure maybe there's, like...
It's probably because it's a comedy and not a real... I guess. Not, like, a real scary movie.
I'm so excited to see what they do because, like, now I feel like horror is so different than it once was with your, you know, like...
Yeah, even I feel like the movies that you showed me from, like, the 90s and, like, the 80s are so different from horror now.
Yeah. So it'll be fun to watch.
Smile is so scary.
I know. Ooh, I hope they do that. I hope they bring...
Naomi Scott! I would love that. Honestly, keep Naomi Scott booked and busy. That's if we have one goal, it's keep Naomi Scott booked and busy.
One day she's going to look at all her mentions on this podcast. It's going to be like literally every episode. Anyways, the next Tipsy Teaser is that James Gunn announced the sequel to Superman. Superman writer and director James Gunn revealed on Wednesday, September 3rd, that the movie's follow-up is titled Man of Tomorrow. It will release in theaters July 9th, 2027. According to comments from Gunn in recent weeks, Man of Tomorrow is not a direct sequel. Nor is it explicitly quote unquote Superman 2. It's definitely not Superman Man of Tomorrow. It's just the next installment to the Superman series. So there'll be Supergirl with what's her face?
With Millie Alcock. Yeah, Millie Alcock.
And which comes next year, and then this one will follow. And I did hear that, like, I'm pretty sure I heard that Peacemaker season 2 sets up either Supergirl or Man of Tomorrow. If it's Man of Tomorrow, I'm going to be pissed because this isn't coming out until 2027, which means Peacemaker season 3 is like 1,000 years away.
Unless we get a Peacemaker movie.
That's true. But it says it leads up to this movie, so yeah. That would be
I mean, but we could get a Peacemaker movie in 2028.
Jasmine, so far away.
I know that that's so far away.
Actually,
at work,
it's like 2.5, I guess.
At work, I am doing finance for the next 5 years. I'm talking into 2030, okay? 2028 is looking right next.
Okay, but that's... Oh, and then you have a Tipsy Teaser.
I do. So, today, the trailer for Wake Up Dead Man, the new installment of Knives Out, came out today, September 8th. Yeah. And it looks so... good, sassy little American Josh O'Connor. I'm so excited. He's apparently the breakout star, which is crazy.
Because they just had the premiere. Like,
Regardless, that's still crazy because that is like, that's a stacked cast. Mm-hmm. And for Josh O'Connor to be the clear standout is crazy. I'm so excited. That's all I had to say.
There's so many people in that.
There's
movie.
So
it's
many
crazy.
People. But there's always a lot of people in it. I feel like when you think about the original Knives Out, like there were like 12 suspects.
It's going to be so good. And I like Benoit's new longer hair.
I know. He was probably retired and he's growing it out. Oh, love looks him. So good. Okay, so next it's the Screen Time recap.
Yeah, you can go first.
Okay, so I have loads of things. So,
and we have like crossover too, so
yes. Okay, so first off, I read quite a bit, so I'm gonna add that into my screen time recap because I do read on a Kindle. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I read a book called Check and Mate. It is an Ali Hazelwood book. It is about a chess prodigy who falls in love with another chess prodigy. Fine. The Deal, which is the one of the off-campus books, the first off-campus book, and I also read the second off-campus book. Very, very good. I'm now extremely excited about the Prime Video.
You talked about one the last time we recorded, I'm pretty sure, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I thought, because I remember you saying the series of the off-campus books. So I feel like maybe you mentioned one of the books last episode, but
I might have read the first one. Did I tell you that I read a book called Dungeons and Drama?
No, hilarious. Go
on. I did. It's about a girl. She's like a drama major, but like not like a drama major. She like is in high school and she's like a theater kid. And her dad and her mom and dad are divorced, but her dad owns like a gaming store.
Mm-hmm.
And as a punishment for like something that she did, she has to work at the gaming store. And of course she like falls in love with somebody at the gaming store. It's amazing.
Was it an actual book or was it a fan fiction on...
I think it was an actual book.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Then I read something called The Friend Zone. It was fine. Then I also read... We are doing a book club with Julia, I guess. And, like, some people off this app. It's, like, Kindred. It's, like, an app for, like,
cute
girls to, like, meet up and... Okay. So then The Mistake is the second off-campus series. I read that. Then I read Every Summer After by Carly Fortune. It was really good. It was one of those things like how... Do you know how in We Were Liars, it's kind of like this thing that happened, but I can't tell you. And it's like...
Oh, yeah.
It got to a point where it was very annoying.
Mm.
But only because, like, I feel like I figured it out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason why. And then I read a book called From Blood and Ash, which is, I would say, a fantasy book.
It sounds like a made-up title. It sounds like any title for fantasy.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm on the second book now. The fact that I even read the second, that I even am starting the second book is very telling to me. So there's that. Then The Summer I Turned Pretty, I'm fully up to date, of course. Would you like to discuss?
Sorry, I zoned out when you were talking about reading books for a second.
The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Oh, yes. Okay. I feel like we really need to talk about the last episode.
Yeah. So I'm honestly very excited. I think I am to the point where I'm fully, like, analyzing this, like, as if we were in senior year English class, because I'm, like, the entire time, that entire episode, the air tag, what was it called?
Belly.
Belly was finding herself.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, it's filler. No, it's set up. This is all set up because everyone's like, Belly, who's Belly going to choose? The whole point is that Belly hasn't been able to find herself. And her and Jeremiah have been in this codependent relationship.
So like, they were teens.
They were teens. And they were like grieving this like very intense thing that happened. Like they lost this very important person and they were like depending on each other so much. And I think that that episode showed very well that like, Belly has realized that she needs to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, move on is the wrong word, but she's like, I need to be able to like be my own person. And like all of this made me realize that like I can't build a life around someone else. I need to build my life and then figure it out. And I think that Jeremiah hasn't figured that out. And when he does figure that out, he'll be very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he called her up and he was like, come home. I'm like, you literally said you didn't want to marry her.
And also, how rude he was to Laurel was insanity.
No, how rude he was to Laurel was insanity. Can
that
I
was,
also
that
just
was
say...
That was crazier to me than him being rude to Belly, because, like, she did just, like, tell him that she still loved her his brother. And, like...
I agree.
Still don't be mean like that, but also, like, being rude to Laurel was crazy.
Well, that also, to me, feels like a line that is crossed, where it's like, this is also just, like, someone who has been very nice and not, honestly nothing but like so loving and supporting
kind
for you.
Of raised you
yeah
also?
Kind of raised you like I know that you like didn't love that she was against the wedding at first but also like that's kind of how parents work sir. Also the way that Jeremiah was behaving that entire episode felt so performative.
Baby
he was like
bitch.
no but the way that he was moping about the second he realized Belly was in Paris. He was up. He was about. He was fully dressed. to tell Conrad. Oh, Belly called me. Did she call you? Did she call you? Oh, boo, boo. She didn't pick me, but she didn't pick you either. It goes to show that for Jeremiah, it was always about a competition with mm-hmm. Conrad versus for Belly, that's not what it was. And for Conrad, that's not what it was. Mm-hmm. Which goes to show Jeremiah is the wrong one in this whole situation. Okay, I'm done.
Also, him saying that to Belly on the phone, I can't sleep when you're not here. He was sleeping the entire episode. That's all he was doing.
Also,
he was sleeping the entire time.
You slept fine in Cabo.
He wasn't sleeping there, actually, Ariana. But my thing
I don't know. That Redbird got kicked out of his room.
Because they were fooking, not sleeping.
No, I don't.
But my thing is with people being like, it's just a filler episode. It's like, everybody complains about that, but then they'll complain that, like, it was too rushed at the end. Or they didn't like, fill holes, like...
That's what those episodes are for.
You have to fucking tie shit up. Like, you can't just, like... But people, like... Guaranteed, if they didn't have that episode, people would have been like, oh, the last three episodes are so rushed, and they're...
Yeah, like, and they'd be like, wait, how did Belly beat these people? And it's like... Like...
Come on.
Of course, if you hadn't had that scene of her helping that girl, I wouldn't be like, how would she have made friends? Because I'm like, yeah, of course, that's how she made friends. If that happened to me, I'd be like, this girl's my best friend for my life.
Yeah, seriously.
I can't.
I liked the episode, personally.
I loved the episode. I thought it was kind of exactly... I thought it was a very, very good palate cleanser post-wedding, pre-everything else.
Mm-hmm. Also, how the fuck did their dad still not know?
Their dad... No, I'm so sorry. It was so funny. Their dad being, like, fully, like... Like, him being so flabbergasted is like, are you really that, like, out of touch in your fucking son's life?
Literally. I mean, yeah, the answer is yes. But also, I did like that conversation.
I did really like that conversation because
I think it helped them understand each other a lot more.
I agree, and I think it helped Conrad understand different ways of how he can help Jeremiah instead of, like, always mm-hmm. physically being there. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited for the next two episodes because, like, we truly are in uncharted territory. Mm-hmm. I know everyone's like... All the things, the epilogue. The episode log is truly 3 pages. Like, yeah. 3 pages of material for 3 episodes is not enough.
Yeah.
Also,
I really want to see Steven, like, be pissed at Jeremiah and also apologize to Conrad.
I agree.
Now that he knows about the cheating, like, what I the agree. Fuck?
Ugh. Even Sean, who's, like, the actor who plays Steven, was like, yeah, I thought he was going to be a lot more pissed than that. Like, yeah. I'm very excited. I am also on the side of Twitter that's like, secret 12th episode.
Which they I think love. That there's a secret episode?
A secret 12th episode. which I don't actually think is going to happen, but like...
Maybe.
A girl can dream.
A girl can dream.
So what else did I watch? So I watched Sabrina, the old one, the like 1950s with like Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, nice.
I actually really enjoyed it.
Her style is so cute in that movie.
I actually thought that I was going to hate it, but it was like a cutesy little watch.
What made you watch it?
The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Oh.
Then Love is Blind UK season 2. I watched the full thing, including the reunion.
I haven't watched it and I really don't plan to. So if you want to go off, go
on. So I'm shocked about Barda and what's his face. I really thought that they were going to get married at the end, but then at the reunion, like, it's very telling like why they didn't. So there were 5 couples who got engaged. 1 couple broke up before the wedding, which is crazy because he's like, do you know at the party where like all the islanders, all of the like pod people like meet and they're hanging out?
He was like, that's like my favorite episode.
He was like fully flirting with other girls there at the party while his fiance was like across, and then everyone went out and his fiance stayed and he went out and he was like fully like having full-blown conversations. It was crazy.
What an asshole.
I mean, this girl broke up with him. And then of the 4 couples, one of them didn't get married at the altar. 3 did. 2 of them broke up 3 months after they got married. And then there's only 1 couple together. But let me tell you something. That couple, I'm like, you guys are... Like, you know when you just look at people and you guys are just so in love.
Yeah, I think I did see somebody saying that they were like the Lauren and Cameron. Not the Lauren Cameron.
I don't know. I just really like them.
The first couple from Love is Blind US.
Wednesday, I finished the first half. I haven't seen the second. I haven't finished the second half. So, like, Can we pause this until next week? Only because I was going to watch it. I had so much stuff this weekend that I, like, haven't really even had time. I probably won't even watch today. It's too late to watch Wednesday now. Okay. So there's that. Then I watched Hunting Wives, though. Okay. We can talk about that.
I haven't finished it. So okay. We can switch on those.
Okay, amazing. Then Interior Chinatown. I watched. So it's a very, very meta show. So it's a show about, like, it ends up being very meta. It's very interesting because it's, like, literally about a guy who is, like, he literally works in Chinatown as a restaurant. But it's, like, it's formatted. So it's, like, you can tell that he is a side character. So there's certain things that he's not allowed to do. Like, there's certain places that, he's literally not physically allowed to open the door to. He's like, huh, why can't I get into the precinct? But it's like...
Is this on, like, where is this?
It's on Hulu.
Okay. I've never heard
of it. And so he's like, he is like obsessed with cop shows and he ends up like being kind of like an informant with somebody, with the girl from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But he, like, if he wants to talk to her, he can't go to the precinct. So what he ends up doing is because he works at a restaurant, if he's carrying a bag of delivery stuff, he's allowed to go to the precinct because then he doesn't count as a character who isn't in a place he's not supposed to be.
Okay.
He's now a delivery person in the precinct. So it's confusing. It's so confusing, but it's interesting enough. By the end of the first episode, you're at least like, huh.
Yeah. It kind of gives a vibe of Kevin Can Fuck Himself.
I haven't seen that.
Where she's like in a sitcom, but then she's in like a, like one of those marriage sitcoms that are like, a jolly guy that's like, yeah. I don't do anything wrong. Like, make me a soda. And then she goes to the kitchen and she's in like a sad life and that's her real life. And then she comes out and the cameras are like, yeah, it's very, very interesting. Has Alexis from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, I'm really adding that to my watch list. I've watched all of My Life with the Walter Boys, obviously.
So did I. So we can talk about that.
Okay, amazing. What are your thoughts?
I mean, Alex, I understand he got better this season. Still the most wiener dude ever, and I don't understand.
This is also my thing. I kind of feel like she doesn't like him.
Like, at all, almost.
No, but it's almost because, like, he's so intense and outward about his emotions that she feels like she can't... And I think that she thinks she's hot. He's hot, but I don't think that she loves him.
Yeah.
I think that she probably even likes having conversations with Cole more.
Yeah. Okay, this is going to be a spoiler alert, so if you haven't watched it, stop listening right now, I guess. Okay, when she again almost killed, when it was like the same exact ending where she was like, I love you too, Alex, and then literally 10 minutes later, she almost kissed Cole again, and it was like the same moment as last time. I literally honestly said, again, girl?
And guess what? I have no clue how long was left on the episode, so I said, I hope they fuck it. I hope you dump Alex. Okay, I didn't say that, but in my head I was like as soon as the fire started, I was like, you know what's gonna have to happen? They're gonna have to break up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cole's gonna be so emotionally distraught. Like something, I was like, something's gonna have to happen because like, I was like, there's no way that like nothing happened in 8 episodes.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And it felt like very similar to the last season. I still like it. I'll still continue to watch, but like, my God, girl. Do you learn from any mistakes ever? Like, Jesus Christ.
I said, it's so funny to me because some of these people are such in all caps, such bad actors. And some are so good. I said, the main girl sucks.
But she has really good chemistry with Cole because they're dating in real life. So it's like, it's frustrating because she's great with him. And then any other time, she seems cheesy.
To be fair, but I think it's because the Cole actor is A+.
Yeah.
That I said Sabrina's twink is A+. Because I don't know his name, but he's the guy from Girl Meets World.
Yeah, and he's Farkle, right?
Yeah, he's Farkle, and he's dating Conan Gray.
Yeah.
Yes. I did say that.
Who is Olivia's twink.
Who's Olivia's twink, yes. And then every time I think I should be rooting for Alex, I change my mind. Like, it's like every time it's like when you're like, I'm almost there. He does something and it's like, God damn it, dude. I was almost there.
He's so annoying. And he's like, I still don't forgive him for like him being not nice to Kylie.
No,
and like him still like putting his hand on her leg, like ugh.
No, also not just that, and then him being like, "What's wrong?" and her being like, "Dude, get a fucking grip."
Yeah, I do love her and the football player though. I was like, me too. That was like the what am I thinking of? The plot line that I was like most excited to see what would happen.
Yeah. I also feel like it's because I like her.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in her. Him? Alex can choke.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, is he going to die on one of the horses? On one of the Broncos? We could only hope. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Also, hope you're back from the spoiler alert. I watched We Are Liars. We Were Liars last night. All of it. Okay. Yesterday. I know you've been waiting to talk to me about it.
I did delete my notes, but I had my notes.
Okay, so when Ariana watched this, she came out of her room bawling her eyes out. So, at the end. So, I was like, what the fuck happened to this? And I'm shocked because I was avoiding spoilers and I saw some spoilers, but I did not see the biggest spoiler.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I'm probably I think it's online because and...
I think a lot of people were like, no, it's important to protect this spoiler.
Like, but I mean, since I've watched it, I have seen people being like, showing my friends what, like, the big spoiler. Okay, now it's a spoiler alert again. At the very end of the show, not at the very end, there's still a little bit of time. So she's like, something happens and she has, like, she got, like, a TBI. So she doesn't remember what happened that night when she
What's
was,
a TBI,
like,
Jasmine?
A brain injury, a traumatic brain injury.
Okay.
Were you asking for the audience or for you?
I was asking for me, but also for the audience.
But anyway, so she like, to set up, she wakes up on the thing. She doesn't remember what happened and nobody will tell her what happened. Coming back to this like summer house. And people are like, you just like, every time she asks, she's like, you have a seizure basically every time somebody tells you what happened. So you just have to learn it on your own.
Well, see what for a really long time, people were just like, I can't. So I was like, oh, they're just not telling her.
I was like, did somebody like assault her or something?
No, that's what I thought. And then it took me like 5 episodes for me to realize, oh, they physically can't tell her because her brain shuts down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That she has like
her brain physically can't handle it. Yeah.
So, anyway, so like you find out like literally the last episode. I did not guess it at all.
I did not either. And that's why it got me. Because I am someone who can guess something. So even, even if it's a, like, unpredictable spoiler, quote unquote, I feel like I'm usually pretty good at guessing them. And I did it.
Yeah.
The way that I was like, I truly have no clue. Mm-hmm. Like, what could it be? Like, but it's because I didn't clock, like, the little...
Yeah.
Like, the little details. Mm-hmm.
So, like, you find out, like, she's finally recalling that night. And one of her, like, so she has two of her cousins, who are, like, her best friends. And then another guy who's basically her cousin, but also she's in love with. And, like, they love each other.
Like the very, very the summer I turned pretty.
Yeah. Like, so, the night that this incident happened, you find out like she wants to like break all the, like all the family traumas and curses, and they're going to light the house on this island
on fire.
And so you're watching it and then like, oh no, she's stuck in the house. And then they go in to save her. And then, she comes out and she, and then you hear a narration of one of the people and he's like, we just weren't very good at arson. And then you realize she's looking at the house and all of her friends are stuck inside the burning house. And then it blows up.
Yeah.
So you find out that they've actually been dead this entire time and she's been talking to their ghosts.
Yeah, which is part of the reason why you can't realize it, because they're flashing forward between last summer and this summer. And she's having full-blown conversations with their ghosts the entire time, last summer and this summer.
She also had sex with a guy. I mean,
we've seen Grey's Anatomy. This is not shocking. But no, literally, I'm like, that. I think that's what it was so shocking to me. Mm-hmm. And it took me clocking the little things like, oh, nobody was ever talking to them in the current year. And the mom was always like, what are you doing? Like,
And the mom, like, kind of seemed like a bitch because she wasn't telling her anything, but really, like, she was just trying to protect her, like, the whole time. Because every time she found out that her three best friends slash cousins slash love of her life died, she would have a seizure. And
it was her idea.
Yeah.
I can't.
Plus
the dogs.
And so also,
when the dogs died, I went, oh, Emily. Because I watched this because our friend Emily watched it. And Emily, like, loves dogs. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, two Goldens in this that, like, obviously die in the fire, too. I literally, like,
She goes back to the house, but then they
correct. Go into the fire. But you find out that the dogs died, like, episode 8 or something. Yeah. Like, you find out significantly earlier than the kids died. And I remember, like, my hand flew to my chest and I went, oh, Emily, because I was like, her heart must have.
Oh my God. Oh. Yeah.
She was okay. I talked to her about it afterwards.
Really, really well done show. There are two, well, there's a prequel to the book and then a sequel, I think. So it's like the last one.
They kind of set it up.
Yeah.
Like they could have left it for that. And the male cousin is Haymitch in Sunrise on the Reaping, which is very exciting because I remember watching it and being like, dang, this guy's good.
He was a really good actor.
Yeah, he was
good. I really liked the cousin.
The cousin. She was really good. She was really good.
I
mean, that was probably the reason why I was like, should I start painting again?
And also, like, it's the grandparents, and then they had three daughters, and then those are the moms of, like, the kids. So it seems like they did something, like one of their sisters actually died when they were kids. And also, like, there was something they talk about, like, the summer that one of them was 16. Also, crazy seeing Caroline Forbes as a mom.
No,
as a
literally.
Mom to a teenager.
No, I was like, is she even old enough to be a mom to this, like, 15-year-old? And then I was doing the math and I was like,
she is.
Especially because, like, I guess canonically she didn't get married very old. Yeah. Like, she was, like, 22 or something. So it's like, 22 plus 15 is only, like, 42.
Yeah, I don't know, Matt.
47?
I don't know. 22. But, like, she legitimately is a C-U-N-T in the show, though. Like,
she is. It's 37.
She's good at it. She's good
at it. It's 37.
Yeah.
But, I knew that.
overall, great show, though.
Amazing. What else did you watch?
When did Ariana cry? Like, I was, like, waiting for a moment. I was like, oh, it's gonna, like, wrap up. And then I was like, oh... Popstar Academy, Cat's Eye.
Oh, I also watched that.
Yeah, I figured you would want to talk about it. Or at least, like, both of our favorite members is Megan. So good. Everybody should watch it.
Let me tell you something. Laura, growing on me.
Oh my God. Also, Laura is like the most beautiful person.
Every single time I see that Cat's Eye video, that part where she goes like...
The Gap one? Oh, so good.
Literally.
But it's also so interesting. So it's the same company that created, like, all the K-pop bands, like, specifically BTS. Yeah. So it's like, they train...
And Blackpink.
And they train these kids, basically, their teens, for years before they even see if they can make it into the band. And then they pick and choose. It's crazy. It's very, very fascinating. Like,
and it's very much, like, a thing in Korean culture. Mm-hmm. Like, K-pop academies are, like, a thing.
Yeah. And so are, like, the... game shows or whatever get at the end. Very, very interesting. There were some people, like some of the I don't want to say grown-ups, but like the people that were in charge, I'm like, this lady is freaking evil. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. But
but some of them I could see, like, I was like, okay, like, I think that they love them.
Yeah, some of them, but not that lady. No personable instances. So they do all this, like, training, and then at the end, they do, like, a American Idol type thing, which I don't even remember it happening. It was, like,
I think it's, like, very, it was very niche.
Yeah, it was very, like, K-pop community-based. Yeah. So it's, like, they would, like, post videos of two groups, and then you would have to vote on the favorite person, and then they have, like, this thing that was, like, this evil lady, she was like, I want to tape you guys saying who of the rest of the girls you would want on your team, and we won't show anyone. And then they showed all the girls who they talked about. And she was like, that's just, you know, it's just business. It's like the most watched one we ever posted. I'm like, you're trying to get these girls on a girl band to, like, that get along. And now you're going to make them have enemies?
Also, not just that, because they specifically, like, sent home people that were like, had aspirations to be solo artists. Yeah. They were like, we specifically want girl, like group people who want to stay in the girl group. Like,
justice for Adela, she was incredible.
I mean, now she,
now she's like, the big, she's on the rise of a solo artist. But yeah, they're like highly, highly rec. It was a good COVID watch, honestly. I just blazed right through
it's
it.
It's so easy to watch.
And the music is so good. Yes. And guarantee they're just going to be on the rise. So it's like, if you want to be in on it before they get even bigger, like, now's your time.
And their songs are very good.
I'm continuing to watch Peacemaker season 2. Incredible. So good. Vigilante is the best character. I'm obsessed with him.
I did start watching Peacemaker.
Yeah, season 1, right?
Yeah, I haven't watched enough of it to form a thought. Yeah. You know, I'm weird. Fair. I like bounce between shows.
That's her. And then I watched all of The Paper, which is the Office spinoff. I can wait to talk about
it. Yes, please, because I want to watch it this week.
I'm just going to say, like, I really liked it. It's definitely a grower, not a shower. Like, I think it took me a while in the first episode to, like, really laugh at something, but something really got me in the first episode.
Yeah, okay.
And then I kept watching it. The whole season is on Peacock, which, like, I think is good that it's on Peacock and not NBC, because it really allows them to, like,
Do stuff.
Be, like, more PG-13 than, like, they would be on NBC.
Yeah.
I think they're really gonna find
their niche.
Their niche. And, like, by the end, like, by literally episode 5, I was like, I did not even, like, consider it to be, like, part of, like, the, like, trying to be The Office.
Yeah.
Although Oscar is in it.
Yeah.
Which is funny. But highly, highly wrecked. Like, just an easy 30-minute comedy. Mm-hmm. For movies, I watched Freakier Friday.
Love.
Did you watch it or no?
No.
So good. As far as, like, reboot sequels, really, really good.
I was going to watch it. I had tickets to go see it with Emily, and it was just one of those days where I was like, I need to go home. Like,
so fair. So fair.
And Emily was like, you know what? It's probably for the best. And then I just didn't reschedule it. So I'll watch it when you see it.
I would like to talk to it about it, because there are a few parts of the plot where I was like, why did they choose to do that? Like, there was an easier access to things. But the chemistry between, like, Lindsay and Jamie Lee Curtis Jamie Lee Curtis is still, top notch. Manny Jacinto, so hot in it. Like, he does a dance routine in it, Ariana. Oh, you'll die. Oh, my God.
I'm so excited.
And the Lindsay's daughter, she's, like, super cutie. She is, like, such a good actress in it. Like, I think, like, she is definitely, like, going to be, like, one to watch. And then I also saw Honey Don't, which is a weird fucking movie, but
Megan Fahey's in it.
Nope. well, Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, okay.
And also Margot Qualley do the woohoo. Brum, brum, brum. They have cess.
No. Yeah. I, that's what I thought you meant. And then you made these weird sounds that I didn't recognize.
Well, I didn't want to be like, she eats, like, Aubrey Plaza eats her out. Like, I don't know.
I mean,
like,
I would have gone about to go, wow, wow.
I know, but it's 10:30 now and I haven't eaten dinner. So okay, that's the noises you get. So interesting. Oh, and Chris Evans plays, like, a pastor, which was hilarious.
Also, Chris Evans, back in peak shape. I would like to
say. Was he ever not in peak shape?
No, but.
Oh, because he's probably going to be in Avengers. Like, let's be
honest. No, but he's looking crisp. Yeah. Did you see him yesterday?
Yeah.
Clean shaven. He's looking crisper than usual, baby.
overall, weird movie, but had some funny parts. Like, lots of funny, like, Chris Evans. Like, I think Chris Evans, like, literally just, like, does whatever role he wants now. Like,
well, as he just, should. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, at a certain, like, I'm so sorry. Acting is supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Really,
life is supposed to be fun.
So true. Yeah, just very weird, like, Coen Brothers movie vibes. But, like, Margot Qualley was amazing. Aubrey Plaza was amazing. Like, it's kind of like a whodunit, but also, like, it was very, and also Charlie Day's in it, which was really funny, but I also can't get Charlie Day out of my head. I always think of him as his Always Sunny character, like his voice just, like,
that's so funny,
is Charlie. I just want to say, if the day Margot Qualley gets her teeth done is the day that I kill myself, I will be so sad. I feel like her smile is, like,
I hope she doesn't. That's part of her charm.
1,000%. Like, I just, like, literally thought about it the whole movie. I was like, if she ever gets veneers, I will be so upset.
I hope she doesn't. Like, unless
better smiles have done veneers. And, like,
if she did, the only reason I could see her doing it is if it was, like, if there was like an actual reason that she like needed, reason that she needed them. But
it's like the same with like Sam Claflin, devastating.
I know, devastating.
Devastating. And like also like, I just love that she has like expression lines and like her teeth aren't perfect and like, ugh, she's so charming. Aubrey Plaza was amazing in it. But just a weird fucking movie overall. I'm trying to think if I watched any other movies or anything. I really want to see Weapons, so hoping to either go see that. I think it's probably out of theaters now, but like I just want to
see. I mean, there's lots of stuff in theaters right now that I want to see, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, great. Next is the song on repeat. Okay, I'll go first. Mm-hmm. My song on repeat is Good Girl from Bite Me by Renee Rapp.
Nice. Mine is When Did You Get Hot by Sabrina Carpenter on Man's Best Friend.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing choice. Next segment, we have the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Mm. Okay.
Okay, my person is Millie Bobby Brown.
Okay, my person is Chris Evans. Okay. Okay.
Were they in a movie together?
No, okay. Chris Evans to Chris Pratt in like literally any Avengers movie. Oh, and then Chris Pratt to Millie Bobby Brown. Okay, well, that was easy. We didn't even have to pause anything.
Okay, but it's specifically Millie Brown. Wait, it's Chris Pratt. Wait, it's Chris Evans?
Chris Evans to Chris Pratt in Avengers. In Avengers, and then Chris Pratt to Millie Bobby Brown
in that weird fantasy movie.
Yes, correct. They've been in multiple movies together.
But like more recently they came out with Metal Edge or something.
Yeah. Where she has that weird haircut. Yeah, so that was 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Hell yeah.
So if you liked what you heard, pour us another round by subscribing, leaving a review, and telling a friend. Until next time. Cheers.
Cheers.